This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the little boogeyman.
Right. Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world,
the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting edition of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today we are going to be finishing our SummerSlam podcast. So this is part two of SummerSlam 88, as they wanted to call it. And so far, we just kind of feel that momentum's kind of picked up, but this hasn't really been the best or the worst. I mean, it's just, it started off really rough.
Well, except for the Ravishing Rick Rude match, which was fantastic.
Very bright moment in the show. That was about as great as I've ever seen in any of these shows. It just, that was awesome.
It was a great segment, great match. I mean, I guess the match wasn't, this isn't like one of the best matches we've ever seen or anything. It was a fine match, but the story it told and Ravishing Rick Rude was just fantastic.
Yeah.
He's made my day. He's made this lackluster SummerSlam worth watching just because of that.
I agree with that. And, you know, we also saw the Ultimate Warrior win the Intercontinental Championship from the Honky Tonk Man, who, that was your favorite growing up. What did you think of seeing that?
I still want to see more from the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, it was fine.
It was 31 seconds of the Ultimate Warrior. That wasn't enough for you?
No. No, I still haven't really been able to see enough of them to form a proper opinion of, was I justified in my love for the Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get those answers later in another show, but for now, we just get an exciting run-in, somewhat squash match, if you want to call it that. I mean, it played out a little differently than a normal squash match, but it was just a surprise jump match that, you know, Honky Tonk Man didn't know his opponent, and Ultimate Warrior comes in and just smacks him down for a minute and wins and shocks the world. So, but it was fun. But like you said, it's just not a great match. It wasn't much of a match at all. So, but it was a fun spot in the show.
If I had, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if I had gotten to see the showcase of the Warrior, if I got to see more from him, this would be a really cool spot. Oh my gosh, came in, dominated the long running champion for, and it's just like me personally. I want to see more from them, and so far I haven't got that.
Yeah, you want to kind of grow an opinion on your childhood memories versus your critical wrestling mind, because you're very critical on some absolute legends, you know, like Hogan and Andre and stuff. You're very, very critical, but it's just kind of funny because I remember watching some segments, definitely when the Warrior joined WCW and got on the mic, and it almost looked like the rest of the NWO was holding back laughter because of how bad of a talker he was. I don't remember.
We
haven't got him talking here now that he's Intercontinental Champion. Hopefully we'll get to see him in some promos, see if he was as bad back then, because I remember in WCW, I remember him grabbing the mic, and it was just complete and utter rubbish. I think Vince McMahon is better at kind of making sure everything goes in the right lane, where WCW, I think one of the appeal to bring stars in was, oh, you get creative control and do what you want. And I don't think that always works. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they're like, here, we'll let you be yourself and creative control. Here's the microphone. And sometimes you need that guidance and direction. And I think that's why WWF and now WWE has lasted so much longer than any of the competitors, because I don't think anybody realizes that you almost need that structure of the company saying, that's not going to work and we're not going to do that on my television show. And it definitely was a definite awkward moment when Warrior came out to face the NWO and he just started snarling and talking and nobody really knew what he said even after he got done saying it. It was just a weird segment. You know, you can go to WWE Network. It was on Nitro. You can see what I'm talking about, but it is just pure rubbish. So it'd be interesting, to see what all he says and just that memory of, you know, we were young when he was very popular. So, it'll definitely be exciting to see this.
I'm wanting to see more from him. And
yeah,
so far we haven't really got that.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and continue our coverage of SummerSlam 1988. And, hopefully this show, starts picking up. Like I said, I think it's had some moments where it definitely started off rough, kind of picked up steam. That Brother Love segment happened, and then the Warrior spot was a very kind of exciting spot, but not really a great match or nothing. So yeah, we'll see where this goes. Okay, so first thing we get when we come back to SummerSlam is actually a redo of the same little stop animation video they did at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, we get a, and it's no different. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. It's almost like we're at the halfway point of SummerSlam, so we're gonna redo this little intro for whatever reason in the middle of the show. So we get that, and then the next thing we get is Bobby the Brain Heenan. He goes up to the broadcast booth. And he joins Gorilla Monsoon and Superstar Billy Graham up there. And so now we get the next match, which is between Dino Bravo with Frenchie and The Rock Don Morocco. So this match was okay. Nothing, there was no overly exciting stuff going on. It wasn't a bad match. There was no botches. Yeah, it wasn't a bad match. It just wasn't memorable, wasn't very exciting. Frenchie Martin gets involved and costs Don Morocco the win. So obviously Dino doesn't get a clean victory. You know, he's a heel, so that's typical. So that's how this one ends. What'd you think?
Yeah. We've been seeing these guys quite a bit in our rewatch podcast, and neither one of them are super impressive. I haven't enjoyed them anytime they've been on the screen. They're not like terrible. They're kind of big dudes.
Yeah.
Like not height wise, but like
just nothing super memorable, super exciting.
They were calling Dino Bravo the strongest guy from Canada.
Yeah, Canadian,
like a big guy.
Canadian strongest man, I think they said. So after the match, we get a interview with Jesse the Body Ventura. Apparently, he is the special guest referee for tonight's main event against the Mega Powers versus the Mega Bucks. And they didn't show us any footage, but they talked about apparently Ted DiBiase stuffed money in his pocket.
And Jesse the Body Ventura rightfully said, hey, if you want to give me money, I'll take the money.
Yeah, I'm not a fool, he said. I'm not a fool. Somebody going to give me money? I'm going to take it.
I mean,
so
do you blame him?
You know, it's just they're building up the idea that this match is probably already fixed before it is. So we'll see what happens.
Which really leads me to believe that Jesse is going to cheat for Hogan and Macho.
I don't know if he'll cheat, but I think he's going to. It kind of reminds me of Mike Tyson with Shawn Michaels. When Stone Cold Steve Austin took Shawn Michaels and the whole match built up, he was the special enforcer, but he was wearing a DX shirt and everything. And then in the end, he screwed Shawn Michaels and he counted the pin for Stone Cold and celebrated with Stone Cold. It kind of reminds me of that. Maybe they're kind of building it up to where Jesse's going to do something bad, but yet I think he'll probably flip it and handle the business. But
yeah,
Once again, I don't recall the results of this SummerSlam, so it'll be interesting to see if we're right, if we're wrong. So, all right. Okay, so in the next match, we get a tag team match for the WWF Tag Team Championships. It's going to be the champions Demolition, Axe, and Smash, accompanied by Mr. Fuji and the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, versus the Hart Foundation, Bret the Hitman Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. This was a pretty good tag team match.
Yeah, this was a decent match. This was. I really enjoyed it. I love both tag teams that are in the ring. You know, I like Demolition. I like the Hart Foundation, obviously. Bret the Hitman Hart's one of the best wrestlers to ever lace up some boots.
Yeah, there was a lot of good spots in this match. It was a fun match. They played on the whole keeping Bret Hart away from the corner, not letting him tag into Jim the Anvil Neidhart. He sold those moves very well. In the end, he finally got Jim the Anvil Neidhart tagged in, but eventually, somehow, I mean, it was happening kind of fast. They tagged back and forth a few times. But Bret the Hitman Hart got hit in the back of the head with the megaphone after Jimmy Hart tossed it into Axe. Axe decides to hit Bret over the head, and they had to cheat to win and retain the WWF Tag Team Championships. But this was a very good match. I thought this was a well-worked match. It had absolute legends in the ring, so this was a good one.
It sounds like you had a problem. Jimmy Hart just noticed that he forgot his megaphone and was just trying to return it. I don't understand why you're giving me these looks like there's an issue with that. He just was like, hey, Axe or Smash? I don't remember which one was in the ring at the time.
Axe used the megaphone, but he wasn't the legal man. Smash is the one that was in the ring. He was about to get pile-drived by Bret Hart. And Smash ended up getting the pin 1-2-3 after the megaphone.
Yeah. Axe just, he forgot it. Jimmy Hart was just trying to give it back to him, you know? You know what I'm saying? It's what it was.
Now they had to cheat to win, but it was up until that, you know, little moment.
I didn't see any cheating at all.
Yeah, they had to cheat to win.
I mean, he just smashed them with it. It's okay.
Okay, well, agree to disagree. Like I said, this was a good match. Probably, I'd say the best tag match of the night so far. Definitely.
Definitely.
So I'd put it probably number two of matches of the night. This is a pretty good one.
I would agree.
Okay. So we get Mean Gene Okerlund. He's in the back with the Honky Tonk Man and Jimmy Hart. Honky Tonk Man is basically saying that he never agreed to fight the Ultimate Warrior. He never said he would. And Jimmy Hart's saying, we never signed a contract. So he feels that he should still be the Intercontinental Champion. And he says he's going to get his belt back. So they're throwing a little temper tantrum about what had happened earlier in the night.
Can you blame him? He didn't sign a contract, Rage.
He was earlier talking about how he'll take on anybody. He's the greatest champion of all time. Shake, rattle, and roll, you know, Elvis impression. He was doing all that earlier. So.
Yeah, but he didn't agree to face a warrior.
Oh.
He agreed to face another competitor, but not a warrior.
Oh, okay. So that matters. Okay.
That matters.
So the next match we get is Coco Beware. And he takes on, for the first time in our podcast that we've seen, the Big Boss Man. So this match was kind of slow at first. I mean, it was okay in the beginning, but it really picked up towards the end and really became kind of an exciting match, kind of an exciting finish. I feel like there was magic in Big Boss Man's belly. Because as soon as the button came loose and you could expose the belly button of the Big Boss Man, I feel like the match really got exciting at that point.
okay.
It's true. They're wrestling, and for some reason, all of a sudden, the belly got exposed, and I felt that's where the fun really began. Coco Beware started gaining some steam, and there was a lot of exciting parts, but with the belly unexposed, I felt it was kind of a slower match.
So, for you to enjoy this, you needed the Big Boss Man to start stripping.
Well, he didn't strip all the way, it's just his button broke. So you could see his belly flopping around the rest of the match. Huh? So I just felt like there was magic in that belly button. I have rendered Blaze speechless here. So anyhow, Big Boss Man, he gets the win, but that win wasn't good enough for him because he had to get his nightstick and still hit Coco Beware after the match was over.
It was okay. It was a fine match. You take it away. This seems to be your forte, okay?
Anyhow, the Big Boss Belly defeats Coco Beware in a halfway decent match. Like I said, kind of slow in the beginning, picked up towards the end. So that is what we get. And Blaze has nothing to say about this.
I just can't even.
So I feel we should go ahead and move on so maybe Blaze can gather his thoughts.
Why? Just why?
So we get to see the Ultimate Warrior backstage, and he cuts his first promo that we have got to see since doing this podcast. And he gets on the mic all excited, telling the Honky Tonk Man that he's not hard to find, and lightning will bolt down from the sky, and you can take on him and all the little warriors. And he's going to be on the next bus to Parts Unknown or something. This was this is madness. I guess they didn't monitor his microphone skills as well as I thought they did. So I guess WCW didn't do nothing bad. They just, this is just the Warrior.
This was only slightly less crazy than your magic belly button theory. This was rough.
This is your childhood hero.
Number one, he keeps talking about Parts Unknown like it's a place and not just, you know, we don't know where he's from. No, it's a magical place called Parts Unknown. Like, what? And he's going to take a spaceship. Warrior alludes that he is a freaking alien. What is going on?
He seems excited to win the Intercontinental Championship. You know, the funny thing I found about that promo is he told Honky Tonk Man he wasn't hard to find, but he's from Parts Unknown.
Which is a place, apparently. It is a place. It's like Smurf Village. What?
This will be fun to hear him talk some more in later episodes of our podcast, because you can honestly see Blaze's childhood just crushing right in front of your eyes.
I mean, he's an alien? Is my childhood hero an alien that burst out of Big Boss Man's magical belly button? I mean, I don't know. Nothing makes sense anymore.
Okay, so let's go on to the next match. Okay, so the next match we have is Hercules versus Jake the Snake Roberts. And this was kind of a slow match. I thought there was a lot of the whole either submission or working on one part of the body. And it was mostly Hercules just putting pain on Jake the Snake Roberts. He didn't get a lot of moves into this, But then towards the end, he was able to reverse a body slam into the DDT and win the match with that one move, 1-2-3. But really, this was all Hercules mostly in this match until Jake the Snake hit that DDT at the end. And then, of course, he celebrates by throwing Damien on top of Hercules and let Damien slither all over him and everything. So, but for the most part, this was kind of a slow, you know, one of them type of matches that it was just, you know, submission move or working on a body part. It was one of them.
This is becoming too much. Now we got a deity in the ring. Aliens, deities, magical belly buttons. This is getting crazy.
Yeah, this is a strange time in the WWF when you have Greek gods and warriors from space.
We get rematches from thousands of years ago, you know, Hercules versus the Hydra. I'm sorry, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, so, I mean, what did you think of the match, though?
You're right. It was kind of slow. There was a lot of headlocks, a lot of sleeper holds. It wasn't a bad match. It was, I mean, I like matches that, you know, focus on, you know, more technical and
just didn't seem submission. To be a lot of big spots.
Yeah, no.
No real big moves. And even when Jake the Snake reversed the move and hit the DDT, it just seemed like that's all he did. I think he had a body slam earlier in the match, but other than that, there wasn't a lot of offense for Jake the Snake. Then he comes out with the win. It was just kind of an odd way to
it was also to do weird the match. Because I think we were both expecting Ravishing Rick Rude to show up.
This is true. And we expected that kind of tit for tat situation where Jake came out and interrupted Rude, so Rude, you would think, would come out and interrupt Jake, but that's not what happened.
Yeah, we didn't see Ravishing Rick Rude at all. I was kind of hoping for him.
Okay. Okay, so before we move into the main event, we get a video package full of highlights of what has been going on the past several weeks on WWF Superstars and the build-up to this match. So we see Macho Man Randy Savage. Apparently he's getting attacked by Andre the Giant and Ted DiBiase while Virgil's holding Miss Elizabeth back. He issues a challenge to the two of them, says he'll name himself a partner, and then, of course, that partner becomes Hulk Hogan, and the Mega Powers are formed. And so then we also get to see what they were alluding to earlier in Jesse the Body Ventura's promo, where Jesse the Body Ventura is handed cash by Ted DiBiase, and he keeps shoving what looked to be $100 bills in Jesse the Body Ventura's coat pocket, so or whatever you call it. I don't know if you call it a coat, but you know what I mean. It's a little flashy jacket he was wearing. And so we get to see this build-up to this match.
Yeah, good build-up. It's really the most we've gotten out of the entire show of, like, build-ups. Like, they haven't really shown us what's happened before any of these matches, any of the build-ups to these matches. They really haven't done much of showing us what happened other than this main event.
Yeah, so this is something that's kind of a normal thing. At almost every pay-per-view, you get these video packages that really show you the build-up of each match. And usually you get that on the majority of most of the matches at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Where on this show, you just get the one build-up to the main event.
Which is weird because there's been quite a few matches where obviously something's been going on and we don't know.
Well, the strange thing is, and still what I'd like to point out, is this is SummerSlam. And granted, this is the first SummerSlam. They might not realize this is going to become one of their big four pay-per-views. But the weird thing to me is that you have matches between, like, Ravishing Rick Rude and JYD, and then you've got obviously a feud going on between Jake the Snake Roberts and Ravishing Rick Rude. So it's just kind of odd that they're not meeting at SummerSlam. So there was a lot of that, I felt, that it was just kind of odd.
Well, like you said, this they might not have realized how big they were going to have SummerSlam every year. And this could be a simple matter of throughout the last couple weeks, little things like this have been happening and that just continued during the SummerSlam. And they just haven't got to the boiling point for, in fact, after the SummerSlam, I'm guessing we're getting to the boiling point of their feud. So they probably will have a match here soon.
Hopefully we get to see that maybe at Survivor Series, which would be the next pay-per-view we would be covering. Yeah. So maybe we'll get something along those lines.
Which, actually, this has probably started with WrestleMania. Because they faced off. Rick Rude and Jake the Snake, weren't they the double count-out? The time expired during the first round of the tournament.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It was Jake the Snake and Rick Rude. So this is just, I believe, a continuation of that match.
Fair enough. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So let's go ahead and move on to our main event of the night. Okay, so before we get into our main event, we end up getting this video package giving us a little bit of a story detail on what's been going on leading up to this match. So you get to see how they try to bribe Jesse the Body Ventura and just everything that's been going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this match. Or I was looking forward to it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So then we get entrances with, like you pointed out while we were watching it, no music. We still don't have the Million Dollar Man's theme music playing.
And I believe we've gotten music for almost every wrestler on this SummerSlam, but for some reason...
Or at least the ones that came down the aisle.
Some of
them were just standing in the ring.
Which, that still happens in wrestling. They'll have someone in the ring, and, you know, they're already in the ring. They won't have their entrance, but in this SummerSlam, I believe almost everybody that's come down the aisle has had music, but for some reason, the Mega Bucks, Andre the Giant and Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, do not, in the main event, do not come down to music.
And they're accompanied by Bobby the Brain Heenan and Virgil. So then we do get music for the Mega Powers with Miss Elizabeth. But it's actually Macho Man's music, not Hogan's, which surprised me. And I guess it makes sense. He was the WWE Heavyweight Champion at the time of this match, so it kind of makes sense. But it was just weird to see Hogan coming down the aisle. And I'd like to point out he had all this energy, you know, kind of shaking his head, shaking his hand, and it didn't really match the slower paced music of the Macho Man Randy Savage, you know, his music. So, it's like he did what he does.
I believe that's called Pomp and Circumstance, that song.
Pomp and okay, so you know the name of the song?
Yeah, well, famous song. It's not like... It's a song that's been used in movies and I believe at graduations a lot back in the day.
Is that the graduation theme?
I think so.
Do you know that for a fact?
I don't know that for a fact.
I mean, it does sound like that, but I've never really put it together as if it's the exact same song.
I know I've at least seen a movie in the 80s that used that song for a graduation scene.
Okay. Well, we will not confirm or deny this,
do believe the song's called Pomp and Circumstance.
Okay, well, we'll have to Google that. Maybe Google that while we're talking.
I'm going to right now.
Because I couldn't tell you the name of the song. I just know that it was kind of a little funny to see Hogan trying to move to that. Because he was still doing his energetic entrance that he does with his song, but that song's not really that type of song for him to be doing that. So it was just kind of funny. So then moving on to the match, before the match starts, which we have Jesse the Body Ventura as a special guest referee, he starts moving ropes around from the turnbuckles. He actually moved the corners. Now, I don't know what the purpose behind this. I thought there was going to be something a little bit more detailed and informant on what was going on. But he just basically, there's a string that, like a rope that hangs from the turnbuckle, not really the turnbuckle, but the post. And, he ends up moving it to another corner for both teams, and he just changes the corners in which they were supposed to be in opposite directions. Never really got a, explanation. The only thing I can think of for the purpose of that in the match was for Hogan to kind of get in Jesse's face and Jesse kind of point at him, say, back up, you know, I'm Jesse the Body Ventura, I'm the referee. So it was kind of neat to see them kind of have a little nose-to-nose and a finger-pointing moment before the match even began. Keep in mind, the storyline was that maybe Million Dollar Man, he did offer him money, but what's Jesse gonna do, you know, with the fact that he was offered the money before the match even began? So it was kind of a moment of tension, but other than the moment of tension, did you really see a point in why they changed their corners? Unless maybe Vince McMahon came over the,
I don't know.
Maybe Vince McMahon came over the speaker and said, hey, you guys need to change the corner. The camera's not getting you properly or something. I don't know. It was kind of a weird moment before the match. So the match starts and, it was slow at first. I'll say that. It was kind of slow at first. It had a few little moments at the beginning, but it didn't really pick up much. And then you had like about, it felt like at least 5 minutes of sleeper holds. Yeah. You had Andre the Giant choking Hogan with his singlet. And then you had Million Dollar Man giving him the sleeper hold. And then, of course, after about 5 minutes of no oxygen, I suppose, Hogan hawks up. And then the match starts getting really exciting from there. So the match didn't really, for me, didn't start until almost halfway through the match, because I just felt like it was kind of a slow-paced beginning. But then it really kind of picked up. We had a lot of fun moments, Million Dollar Man doing what he does best, selling moves like crazy. Oh, yeah. We got a little bit more high energy going on with Macho Man kind of running around and Hogan doing his thing. Had a lot of really fun spots. And then there was a moment that Hogan and Macho Man got beat up and outside the ring. And Miss Elizabeth comes up onto the apron.
Just tears her dress off.
Tears her dress off. I mean, we're seeing, you know, her features and everything, you know, on the blower area. And she, you know, kind of does this to distract everybody. And everybody. I mean, we're talking Andre, Million Jesse Dollar Ventura. Man, Jesse the Body Ventura, Bobby the Brain Heenan, they're all just kind of staring at her like, oh my gosh, I've never seen a woman's body before. You know? It's like very distracting.
Like these famous muscle-bound, well, not Andre, but muscle-bound men.
These famous wrestlers.
Have never seen a beautiful woman it wasn't even like she was wearing a thong or anything.
No,
she
was like a swimsuit bottom.
Yeah, like a swimsuit bottom. I mean, it's... but, you know, she is an attractive woman.
So
sure.
So, of course, Hogan and Savage, they take advantage of the distraction and really gave a really fun ending to this match.
Yeah, it's very fun.
So the match is over. Savage, I really liked it at the very, very end. Million Dollar Man, well, before that, Andre really sold a move and fell out of the ring.
Yeah, fell out of the ring. It's one of the more impressive things I've seen from Andre.
Very, very agile looking for Andre for this time frame of his career.
Unfortunately, him having Macho Man in this corner of the ropes and doing those shoulder blocks just looks so weak. For such a big guy, they just did not look like they had any power to him whatsoever.
Well, I mean, the whole idea is he's so big that's supposed to be devastating.
I mean, him squeezing up against him, like his back up against him, I mean, that seemed to work well, but those shoulder blocks, he put no oomph in it.
Well, Andre, at this point in his career, he was deteriorating. You know,
that we don't get to see him in his prime, you know.
You should really watch the HBO documentary on Andre the Giant and really, you know, gain some more respect for him, because it's an amazing documentary. I loved watching it, sat here and watched it with my wife, and I think you would get a little bit more appreciation for Andre the Giant if you'd sit and watch it.
I love Andre the Giant, but
you don't sound like it.
I am covering these, and I'm not going to just ignore things like that.
Well, the documentary really kind of explains his health issues at the time. Even WrestleMania 3, he was already dealing with these health issues.
And I get that. But knowing that doesn't change what I'm watching.
Okay. Well, regardless, so Andre takes a tumble out of the ring, which was one of the more impressive things we've seen him do since covering the show. And then we have Million Dollar Man laying flat on the middle of the ring, and Hogan did something kind of cool. He stuck his boot almost pretty much on DiBiase's neck.
Yes, he did.
And while he allowed Macho Man to get up on the top ropes and do the flying elbow, and I mean, this was a far one too. He wasn't really dead center. He was more towards, I say, if you're watching on screen, towards the left of the ring, and that was a far elbow drop. That was a pretty long trip he took. So it was a really, really great elbow drop. And of course, Hogan moves his boot in time for him to do the drop, and he ends up getting the pin 1-2-3.
Well, no. Hogan does the leg drop afterwards.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. So Hogan,
team finishers, and then
I forgot.
Hogan got the pin, not Macho Man. Hogan was the legal man.
My bad. Yeah, you're right. Hogan did do a leg drop. So he got double finishers, boom, boom, and then 1-2-3. That was the end of the match. And so the end of the match, and we're still not done talking about this, because the end of the match could have been just that, but they gave it a little extra because Jesse the Body Ventura almost looked reluctant to go down and do the pin.
Hesitates on the third.
So then Macho Man kind of almost pushes him down, saying, you're going to do this.
He literally, oh, okay.
So he said, he kind of pushes him down. I don't know if you noticed. He pushes him down, and he counts to two, and then leaves his arm up for three like he didn't want to do it. And Macho Man grabbed his arm and slammed it down to the mat to do the three, 1-2-3. And then instead of Macho Man's music, this time at the end of the match, we get Hogan's music.
We still got Hogan, and we still got posing for about 10 minutes.
And he, but he added Macho Man to the posing.
There was some more. Yeah, both of them were posing.
So there was a little bit more pandering to the crowd, and that's what Hogan does best. So the show ends in about 45 minutes after the match is over, because he's celebrating. I'm exaggerating, of course. So, but one thing that happened during the celebration that we kind of wanted to point out while we were watching this is Hogan hugged and kind of lifted Miss Elizabeth up. And Macho Man was looking at the crowd, pandering to the crowd, and turned around and saw this. And I don't know if this was meant to cause tension, because we know they're about to battle at WrestleMania 5, is what we're about to watch. Well, we've got a Survivor Series to cover, and then we've got a WrestleMania 5 we're going to cover. Mm-hmm. So we know
we got Survivor Series and then another Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and then WrestleMania 5. So I'm not 100% sure when that storyline starts up where
I feel the
mega powers explode in WrestleMania 5, but there was a moment that Macho Man legitimately did not look happy. And we thought maybe this was going to cause the friction and start the feud.
Well, traditionally.
But instead, they both celebrated for quite a while after that moment. But there was definitely a brief moment where I don't think the real Macho Man, I mean, we're talking the real, you know, guy, which would be Randy Poffo. Randy Poffo did not look happy.
Yeah, I still think it was is more of a storyline.
So
slow
you
burn.
So you think this was part
like the
of it,
starting of it, and you know, starting because I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that their breakup is because of jealousy from Macho Man, because obviously Macho Man's going to be the heel. So I believe it was jealousy from Macho Man with Miss Elizabeth doing stuff. I think this was like starting a seed for dissension, to,
you know, and it might have been, but they didn't play on it on this night.
No, but he gave
so
that
it,
look.
So it did make you wonder how real that moment was. Because yeah, it felt.
Then Hulk Hogan kind of puts his hand on her ass when Macho Man lifts her up on his shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, lower back.
Yeah, so it definitely felt a little bit like a real reaction. Once again, we wasn't, you know, we were probably watching it this time, but we were young, and I don't know when that feud's going to begin. I just know that feud does happen.
So it kind of
makes you wonder how much of it. Well, let's put it this way: if we keep watching more pay-per-views, and they show that moment in the clip of before they wrestle at WrestleMania 5, then maybe we'll have our answer. Yeah. That was a part of the storyline. But if they never show this again while leading up to that match, it almost makes you wonder if that was a real moment.
I mean, it's possible.
Kayfabe might have been broken for about 5 seconds because you could see it in the face like, what the hell, dude?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it was was setting up. But, you know, you might be right. Now, to also talk about more of me being right, Pomp and Circumstance is absolutely the name. Actually, the full name, Pomp and Circumstance, or not the full name, but added on, it is the graduation march, walking march. It's the song they used to play. I don't know if they do it nowadays. It's the song they used to play at graduations when the graduates walk down the aisle to get their diploma. It is absolutely associated with graduations. It didn't originally start that way. I mean, this song is from 1901 by Sir Edward Elgar, and it was originally a march used for the coronation of King Edward VII in 1901. So that's what it was originally intended for. Then they started using it a lot at graduations.
And this is one and the same song we listened to.
Pomp and Circumstance, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. That's.
I guess I've never put two and two together that they're the same thing.
If you watch a lot of 80s movies back in the day, it was very popular. Like, if they had an movie where the kids go to are graduating in the movie, they always play Pomp and Circumstance. Yeah.
I'll be darned. Well, yeah. Okay, so. All right, so now I think we're going to finish this up and go to our best and worst matches.
Yeah, let's get to that.
Favorite match of the night.
Okay, so favorite match of the night. I'm kind of torn on this one. I've kind of bounced it back and forth. But I went ahead and gave it to the main event. The Mega Powers, Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage versus the Mega Bucks, Andre the Giant and Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. I almost went with the Rick Rude match, but I felt like this had a really fun ending. Very, it was a fun match. There was a little bit of a slow period, but I just thought the magnitude of the match, also the fact that this match ended in a legitimate pin and not a disqualification, kind of helped make me lean towards this match as my favorite match of the night, just because there was a conclusion, where in the other match that I was thinking, there wasn't quite a conclusion, but it was maybe not matches, but it was one of the best moments in wrestling. It was amazing. I loved the Rick Rude situation, but I'm going to give it to Hogan and Savage on this night.
I find the Hogan, this is the best thing we've watched with Hogan and Andre the Giant. This is by far the best thing that we've watched, best match, best anything that they've been in. This is the best. This was a lot of fun. I think a lot of it has to do, in my opinion, with Honky Tonk Man selling moves, and he does it great. It had a good story. It didn't have that dumb finish that the the tournament had in the last WrestleMania we watched, where they freaking got both got disqualified. It didn't have that dumb ending. It had a good ending. I love Jesse the Body Ventura hesitating for the pin and Macho Man slamming his hand down. Like, it had a good story.
Yeah,
it was a good match. There was some fun spots. I loved the elbow drop and then right afterwards the leg drop. I loved the ending. There was a lot of good in this match. Even with my gripes. However, my favorite match of the night is the Rick Rude versus the JYD Junkyard Dog. I just felt like it also told a really fun story, and it just showed me how great of a heel ravishing Rick Rude is. The putting Jake the Snake's wife on his dick. Putting Junkyard Dog on his dick. I mean, that is just savagery at its best.
It was
a good match,
it was
too.
Amazing.
It was a good match, good story, fun moments. It was my favorite of this SummerSlam. It was by far my favorite.
I loved it, too. I just, you can only pick one. I chose to pick the higher magnitude and the one that actually had a conclusion with the pin. Even though there's really no other way a match could end when a man reveals another man's wife on his pants. I guess there's no other way to end the match, but then to have that man come out and cause the disqualification, which gives him the win.
But see, in my opinion, that is... Yes, it's not a normal finish or whatever, but that finish makes sense.
Oh yeah, that
finish
makes sense. I'm not
fits the story, fits the match, fits everything. Where we've had a lot of issues with some weird endings.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing the way it ended. I'm more saying that it helped give me a clear cut answer to this question. Just because there was a finish in the other match. I absolutely loved the Rick Rude match.
I'm not arguing your choice because, in my opinion, I mean, I didn't have to fight as hard to decide which one I wanted to pick because unless this match, that main event, blew me away, I knew that Ravishing Rick Rude versus JYD match was going to be at the top of my list, and I was going to need something special to overcome it, and... That main event actually came close. It was a fun match. It had good story. I liked it.
Very good ending.
Very good ending. It came close, but it just wasn't enough to change my opinion on the best match of the night.
Is it fair enough to say I liked Miss Elizabeth's reveal better than Rick Rude's reveal?
You perverted bastard.
No, I mean, both matches had reveals, right? Reveal did you like better? And I just, of course, you go with the man on the dick.
Woman on a dick.
There was a man first.
I mean, sure.
Okay,
let's...
Worst match of the night.
Okay, so the worst match of the night, I think, is going to be an easy one. And I think we're probably going to agree on this. It was definitely Bad News Brown versus Ken Patera.
I disagree. I think it was the Mega Powers versus the Mega... Nah, I'm just kidding. It was absolutely Ken Patera versus Bad News Brown.
Yeah, there was just way too many mistakes.
Botches, boring, terrible.
It was not a good match at all. It was kind of cringeworthy, to be honest.
This match could very potentially be in my on my other podcast, my PWA WTF Hall of Fame. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I didn't care for this one, so I don't know how much we want to talk about it. If you want to more elaborate, it just was a sloppy match. It just did not work, and it definitely did not give us high hopes for the rest of the show. This was the second match of the night, and the first match of the night wasn't bad, but it wasn't. Really feel like we were going to watch something special today.
As we kind of mentioned in the last podcast, last episode. This had two very good bright spots, the main event and Junkyard Dog versus Rick Rude. But other than that, this was not a very good Survivor Series, in my opinion. Or not Survivor Series, sorry, SummerSlam. This was not a very good SummerSlam, in my opinion. There was not a lot of good stuff in the show. This was just over the top, the worst. And it was just, it looked like these guys were plucked off the street and didn't know what the hell they were doing. I remember they tried to throw one of them in the corner and they accidentally threw them into the ropes instead of the corner. I mean, there was just so many botches, so much bad to that match. It just was not good.
Yeah, those two just did not work well together at all. I mean, we've seen Bad News Brown in the past already on this podcast. We have not seen Ken Patera, but we've never seen Bad News Brown look that bad. He's never really been a bright and shining moment of the shows, but he's never been the reason you wouldn't want to watch it. You know what I mean?
He's been forgettable in this
But he hasn't been bad.
I don't know if he was the bad one in this one either. I feel like it might have been more of Ken Patera, if I remember right.
It very well could have been.
Yeah, he wasn't something to write home about.
Oh, definitely not.
If I was Bad News Brown, I wouldn't have told my mom about this match.
No.
Yeah, just skip that one, Mom. Are you in it? No.
No.
Nope. No idea what you're talking about.
Yep, just skip Survivor Series 88.
Yeah.
Okay, so I believe, well, we can't really rank the...
Oh, this is my worst
SummerSlam 88. I'm sorry.
SummerSlam.
this kind of... We can't rank the SummerSlam, so is this your best or worst?
Oh, this is the worst.
Oh, this is my best.
Okay, we can stop making that joke now, because now, after this show, we will now be on the second of all of these.
Oh, yeah, so we will get to start ranking all of the shows. A matter of fact, the next show we're going to do is Survivor Series 1988, and we will get to rank that. So, from now on, it'll be ranking everything, unless it's a special episode that we decide.
Yeah.
Like, I believe
unless we do like the main event or
I know we talked about doing King of the Ring, Undertaker, Mankind, the Hell in a Cell match, stuff like that. We've talked about doing stuff like that maybe down the road, and we'll pick and choose and see when it's appropriate to do a special episode. So that's gonna finish it off for our SummerSlam 88 episode. Like I said, it had its ups and downs. It had some really good moments.
The two matches that were really good were really good. Unfortunately, the rest was kind of eh.
I mean, I don't think a lot of them were bad. They just wasn't spectacular, pay-per-view worthy, I suppose would be the way to say it. It does kind of make you wonder. I've never seen that moment with Rick Rude before, and it just makes you wonder why isn't that replayed over and over and over and over again on WWE
today? I mean, maybe they didn't want to showcase, okay, this is a guy being super dickish here.
I guess, but it's just kind of one of the moments that, you know, you see historical moments in WWE from WWF that get replayed almost all the time, that even if you wasn't around then or didn't watch wrestling back then, it's almost like there's several moments just enshrined in history that they show you. NFL does the exact same thing. There's certain moments in NFL history that you constantly see replayed even to this day when they talk about certain things. And it's just kind of funny that this isn't one of them, because I think that was one of the funniest, best moments in wrestling that I've ever seen. That was awesome.
I agree. I think the only way I can point out with that is maybe it was just a matter of Rick Rude is not considered one of the biggest names in wrestling.
You shut your mouth.
I'm really liking Rick Rude.
I love Ravishing Rick Rude.
But I don't think he was. I mean, he's not your Hogan. He's not your Macho Man. He's not your Andre the Giant. I don't know if he's ever really even main evented or been the world champion. He's one of your really good mid-carders, but I don't know if he really hit that stride. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess I can see where you're going with that, but it's kind of odd. I also know Rick Rude kind of had a falling out with the WWF.
He was much part of it.
He was not very happy with the Montreal Screwjob, and he literally left immediately after it happened. Little fun fact, he is the only man in WWF/WCW history to appear on Monday Night Raw and Monday Nitro on the exact same night. Did you know that?
I did, because of your facts every day.
Because of my history of wrestling?
History of wrestling, yeah.
Yes, so Rick Rude, yes, he ended up on both shows because at the time Monday Night Raw was taped, which I know lately it has been too, but I think we're going back to live.
We're going back to live. Starting with SmackDown.
With the Thunderdome.
Thunderdome!
Can't wait for the Thunderdome!
I actually just tried to be in the audience for the Thunderdome.
You didn't get it?
No, they said it was already full.
Oh, it's already full?
Yeah, I tried. They had something on Twitter where you could sign up to try to get in the audience for SmackDown. And I filled out the sheet or whatever it was on the internet, and they said sorry, maybe try for a later date, but they said that it was already at full capacity. So
did you have to show a picture of yourself?
No, not yet. Maybe if it wasn't full,
they might have Googled you. So anyhow, sure. So. But yeah, it was kind of cool because Nitro was live and Monday Night Raw was taped, and he ended up on both programs. That's kind of a neat little history thing, I thought, you know. So, all right, well, I think that's going to do us for SummerSlam 88. We will see you at Survivor Series 1988, and I have been Rage.
And I have been Blaze.
Would you like to redo that?
No, that's fine. You have been Rage, I guess. So, you know, now I have been Blaze.
I'm Rage!
And I'm Blaze!
This is Good Night from Rage's Pit!
Not everybody!
And here is your winners! And still, podcast tag team champions of the world,
the Rage and Blaze Show.
Thank you for listening.